We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, because of the effects and gifts that you give at that historical Pentecost, we have been called, we have been gathered, and we have been enlightened, and we have been brought together in this very place. And because of that work of the Spirit, we can hear your words of life. We can receive them. We can be convicted by them. We can be made new by them. We can receive them in the Lord's Supper. So, Lord, as we contemplate the significance and the meaning of this Pentecost day, Lord, help us to see your faithful work throughout history, throughout salvation history, and how you have helped us to mark our time on this earth as we prepare and are prepared to enter into your glory and to see the light of your face. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we're going to begin what might seem to be in a little bit of an odd place. We're going to begin with the word liturgy. The word liturgy at its root and most fundamental meaning means work or workings. And as we think about this, it's pretty fascinating how this all comes together at Pentecost. But I don't want to get to Pentecost too quickly because we have to spend some time in the Old Testament where we see the liturgy of God's deliverance, the greatest gospel power manifested in the Old Testament comes upon God's people as they are gathered under the oppression and slavery of the Egyptians living in the land of Egypt. And as we can talk about the plagues, we know that all of these plagues culminate in what really begins to be the first part of the liturgy. That is where God is acting on behalf of his people. And there is always a response from God's people when he acts. And that first liturgy that the people get to experience actually takes place in the land of Egypt. It is the Feast of the Passover, and you remember this well if you've been to church for any number of years. You know that this is the place and the time where God told them that the angel of death was going to come and to destroy all the firstborn in all the homes and even the livestock in all of Egypt. But he offers to his people the gift and the liturgy of the Passover, and he tells them that they can sacrifice a lamb, and if a family is too small to eat the whole of the lamb, they can join together with a neighbor or a household near to them. And they would slay the lamb, and you know the story. They would take the blood of the lamb, and they would put that over the lintel of the door and the post and everything. And so when the angel of death would come, when he saw the blood, he would pass over that house, and that house would not experience death or judgment in any way. And it was right on the heels of this Passover meal as the people dressed and readied themselves because they were about to be a pilgrim people. They were about to leave this oppression of Egypt. They were about to begin a journey. And so the journey begins with God acting yet again, not in judgment, but in deliverance, as he parts the Red Sea and his people move through the Red Sea on dry land. And all of those who sought the life of his people are killed and drowned in the Sea of Galilee. It's 40 days later, after this divine deliverance of God himself, and after the liturgy of the Passover, that the people find themselves at the base of Mount Sinai. And it is on the 50th day, that is the day of Pentecost, that God comes down on the Mount of Sinai, and he comes in a fiery cloud and as of fire on the mountain. The mountain itself rattles and it shakes, and the people who weren't allowed to come up with Moses are on the outside with the warning that if they pass the perimeter, they will be struck dead because Moses is meeting with the Holy God. and the people tremble, and the people are in fear. And Moses comes down from the mountain with the Mosaic covenant, the Ten Commandments, the law for God's people. And as Moses comes down, you will remember the story. The people have already entered into idolatry and have made a golden calf. And as a result, 3,000 of them are slain at the foot of Mount Sinai. In Pentecost, after this historical act and work of God, would become known as a festival celebrating a harvest of wheat. Not only that, but it would also be the day at which Jews celebrated and commemorated the giving of the law to God's people on Sinai. There would be one other feast that would be part of Israel's lifelong liturgy to keep them mindful of this great gospel deliverance from Egypt, and that is the Feast of Tabernacles. What Pastor Thompson read in our gospel reading today, Jesus says at the conclusion of the Feast of Tabernacles, that the Holy Spirit will come, and from you, living waters, the Spirit will move and flow out of you. Why share all of this liturgy? Well, because it's pretty important, because God determines through His Son, Jesus Christ, that He is going to act on behalf of His people within the parameters of the liturgy. You remember the story of Jesus in that upper room with His disciples celebrating the final Passover, don't you? And it's in that context of the liturgy of the Passover that Jesus gives to His people, His disciples, and to the world something new. He institutes His Holy Supper, whereby His disciples eat His body, drink His blood for the forgiveness of sins. And even more so, we see that Jesus Himself will become the Paschal Lamb, the final sacrifice offered to God on behalf of the cleansing of His people. And we know the story after the upper room is the garden and then the arrest, and we see that Jesus, when we remember back to the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah speak with Him, they talk about His exodus. And His exodus is His dying and rising again. It is that place where you and I have been purchased and won. It is our way out of the oppression and the entanglement that sin has become in all of our lives. And after the resurrection of Jesus, we see His ascension that was celebrated last Sunday, 40 days after the Passover. Remember, 40 days after the original Passover put them at Mount Sinai, awaiting God's descending to the mountain on the 50th day. And so Jesus ascends on the 40th day after Passover, and on that 50th day, their believers are gathered. There are those who have yet to believe are gathered around the temple in Jerusalem. If we look at this map, you can see how people from all of these nations, all of these languages, and it's helpful to look at this map to see exactly what God Himself is doing. All of these people come to Jerusalem, to the house of the Lord, which is the temple on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And some believe that these disciples on this first Pentecost gathered together in that upper room where the first Passover was, but most of the evidence seems to not be the case. It seems that the house that they have gathered at is the very temple of the Lord, and they've gathered on the southern side of the temple, where, ironically, you have all the water for cleansing also. the ritual cleansing that took place. So here are all the believers and many others who have yet to believe in Jesus gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And the Feast of Pentecost and the service of Pentecost was celebrated at 9 a.m. Remember in the text when it says these men and women are drunk, and they say, no, it's only the 9 o'clock. They hadn't met a Lutheran before. No, that's something else. They all gather in this place, southern side of the temple, and as the service begins, a violent wind comes and shakes the temple just as God's presence shook Mount Sinai. And instead of making people tremble and go away, people actually come out to the sound that's taking place just outside of the inside part of the temple. And there, something miraculous happens, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit descends, not just on the apostles, but all of those believers who were gathered there at that time, who had believed in Jesus crucified and risen, and had believed in the promise of the Holy Spirit. And something like tongues of fire comes over their heads, and each and every one of them speaks in their native language. Now remember, right, as we look at this map, what pushed all of these people all over the known world at this time was the Tower of Babel. When the people tried to make their way to God and God squashed it. And here now they come back and God comes down to them and they now hear the proclamation of the gospel in their own language. It's a miracle not only of speaking, but a miracle of hearing. Hearing the gospel, hearing the promise in a completely new way. Peter, beyond our text this morning, Peter preaches to the people who gather around and witness this miraculous work of everyone hearing it in their own tongue. And as Peter preaches to the people, it says that the people had a reaction. They were cut to the heart. What can we make of this being cut to the heart? Well, this is the moment where they are convicted that the promises they themselves made to God at Sinai, they have not kept. They stand in the presence of the Spirit and of the temple and realize through the preaching of the law and the gospel by Peter that they are not law keepers, they are law breakers. They are not covenant keepers, but covenant breakers. And the realization sets in on them and they're cut to the heart. The shame, the guilt, the contrition has flooded their hearts so much so that in their panic, they call out and they ask, "What should we do?" And Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins." And 3,000 people are saved that day. 3,000 killed at Sinai. 3,000 saved on this Pentecost day. And so the people come in. They hear the message. Some are baptized where? Right in those ritual waters outside of the south side of the temple. And what do? They receive the words of life, and then they return to all the places in the known world where they have been scattered to speak the words of life which brought life to them in Jerusalem at Pentecost. They come. They show up, they receive, they go, and they proclaim this good news. Something they can only now do because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, it's the same for you and I today. We mark our time with God's divine liturgy. We come into this service and we celebrate God's moving toward us and His work in us and our response to Him. You understand English. You are hearing the words of life in English. You hear the fullness of God's word and are contrite, a contrition that leads to repentance followed by absolution. And you are given the word of life in the body and blood of the Lord's Supper. You come from wherever it is that you are, wherever it is that you live, to this place, and you're filled by God's divine action with the words of life, and then you depart with a calling to share those words of life with others. This is Pentecost. It's not just a historic event. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in you right now in this place. It's an ability to hear what God says and to miraculously embrace it, even when it's a convicting word. Because in that conviction, you turn to the one who has promised to give you forgiveness and mercy and new life. All of our life here on earth moves around the mighty acts and promises of God. All of our life should be a liturgy marked by His work for you. Life is arranged around Him and His work, not baseball, not soccer, though I was guilty of that for a period, not anything else, but your life here, your life at home, your life at school, your life at work is marked by God's liturgy for you. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, how amazing it is that you have called us and gathered us together here in this place through the Holy Spirit. Some, Lord, you gathered as infants around the waters of baptism to impart your salvation and newness of life to them, to recast them in your image. Some, Lord, came to faith much later through the preaching of your word in a known language, and your Spirit gave them the ability to hear and the faith to trust and then be baptized. So, Lord, may we rejoice that the Spirit continues to forgive, continues to sanctify, continues to call us, continues to gather us. And Lord, may we mark our days by the great deliverance you have given to the world and to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.